Just two votes shy, a major bill that would overhaul the NSA's bulk data collection program failed to pass a cloture vote in the Senate last night and won't move forward for a debate this year. The bill has one of those euphemistic names, you know, the kind that really makes you suspicious about what's in it. This one's called the USA Freedom Act, and it would, among other things, curtail the government's bulk collection of metadata on communications made by persons in the United States. It's a program that first came to light largely because of the revelations of Edward Snowden. Well, last night's vote was a major blow for civil liberties groups, but a victory for our next guest. He's General Michael Hayden, former director of the National Security Agency and the Central Intelligence Agency. General Hayden, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks very much.
You called the NSA reform bill a bill that only ISIS could love. And in fact, a lot of the bill's opponents used your recent statements on the Senate floor to say that curtailing the NSA could give ISIS fighters a free hand in the United States. Is that overstating it?
Well, actually, the headline was not something that either Judge Mukasey, who co-authored the piece, or I wrote. That was a Wall Street Journal summary. But God, I have to admit, it was a pretty accurate summary of what we were trying to say, if a bit overly dramatic. So let me put that on the record. What we were saying was that we want this very important legislation to be considered in regular order. The Freedom Act, the Leahy bill, had not gone through any committee markup or any committee hearings. This is a big deal, and this isn't a battle between light and darkness, good and evil. This is about balancing two things that are both goods, two virtues. We're trying to balance security and our liberty, and that should be done in a calm, orderly way.
Well, the point of your editorial, and I read it closely, wasn't so much Senate process or regular order. It was really saying, in many different facets of the Patriot Act in Section 215, which is what we're talking about here, that curtailing the ability of the government to have bulk collection would damage the government's ability to track terrorists, could result in attacks at home. All of those specters of potential violence were in there. It wasn't really about Senate process.
Well, no, actually it is, because what you just said is true. This will make it more difficult. It will be more cumbersome. It will be less agile. The question is that okay? And I mean that sincerely. I mean, free people decide this balance all the time. I think it's fair enough for people like me with my background to simply point out, no, this will not be as good in terms of defending the nation as the previous regime. Because, Todd, if it were as good, that's how we would have been doing it.
A lot of people who understand just the basics of this, General Hayden, say, well, bulk collection wouldn't really end. It would just live where it's always lived, at the phone companies. We all know that phone companies hang on to our records because they have phone records. We know that. All this would say is the NSA can't hang on to this stuff. It lives at the phone companies, and if the NSA needs to do one of its searches, which we all want it to do to protect us, go get a warrant and do the search.
Well, actually, the bill that Senator Leahy put on, would like to put on the floor, is broader than that. But let's just talk about the retention of metadata issue. NSA keeps the records right now for 5 years. Phone companies keep the records now for about 18 months. And so immediately, you have a distinction as to the depth you can go when you have what we call a seed number. Now, Todd, this all begins with a number we have good reason to believe is terrorist-related. We simply want to know, has that number been in contact with any numbers inside the United States? Under the regime proposed by the Freedom Act, we get to ask that question 18 months backward. Under the current regime, we get to ask that question 5 years backwards. That's a difference. And then, before you ask that database that question about the seed number, the dirty number, as we call it, you now have to go to under the Freedom Act, to a FISA judge. And this is the really curious thing about the law. What exactly is it the FISA judge is verifying? He's actually verifying the intelligence analyst's conclusion that the foreign number he has in front of him is indeed related to international terrorism. That's not playing to the sweet spot of the American court system. They don't have expertise on that.
Well, Leahy's bill wouldn't send it to the American court system, of course. The FISA bill would exist, but there would be an advocate, I guess you could call it an adversarial advocate, so that instead of the government going before the court, and saying, give us this warrant and getting it, there would be someone to argue for civil liberties to say, whoa, hang on, do you really want to grant that warrant?
So it really does go to the court system, because now you're saying before the intelligence agency attempts to perform its foreign intelligence function, an American court has to hear the case and grant it permission. And then, you know, when the FBI goes up on Tony Soprano to listen to the content of his phone calls, and Tony's an American citizen, they don't have an adversarial process in front of the court. It's just the FBI in front of the judge. So why are we extending protections to foreign terrorists that we don't give to American citizens in criminal prosecutions?
Well, let's take a step back before I let you go, General Hayden. The Snowden revelations last summer changed, maybe not in principle, but certainly in fact, Americans' assessment, sort of the balance that you and I have been talking about, privacy versus security. Where do you think we stand now, sort of mid-November 2014, in Americans' understanding of security versus liberty, 13 years removed from the horrible attacks that everyone remembers, but new wars cropping up with new terrorists in the Middle East, but also a lot of public concern, a great deal of public concern over the power that the government has to surveil their activities, surveil their phone usage, if not their conversations?
And Todd, that's a great question, and you're absolutely right. This gets us back to the fundamentals of the republic. This is Hamilton versus Jefferson, you know, and we just continue to replay that as the republic goes forward. And hey, look, I share American constitutional values too. The people at NSA are as much Americans as are the people who really oppose this kind of activity. And I understand the concern, not that this database has been abused, because there's no evidence of that, none whatsoever. I understand the concern that this database exists, that we as Americans inside our political culture are uncomfortable with governments having the potential to misbehave. I get it entirely. I understand the concerns, but we also balance that concern. I need a government strong enough to keep me safe and not too powerful enough to threaten my liberties. Where is that line? Now, specifically, on the question you just asked, when the Snowden revelations rolled out 18 months ago, this was all about, oh, my God, my privacy. And Todd, to be very candid, given the events of the last 6 months or so, there's an awful lot of oh, my God-ing going on out there about our safety as we see the beheading of American citizens by a particularly pernicious terrorist group in the Middle East.
The specter of terrorist attacks and the specter of privacy violations, the age-old debate, Hamilton versus Jefferson, but also a Senate debate, General Michael Hayden, former director of the National Security Agency and the CIA. We appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.